listening to the weekly sermon podcast from New Day Church in Knightsville, South Carolina.
Ooh, good morning. Good morning. Who's excited to be in the presence of God today? If you feel like you got a drink of the living water that Jesus talked about during worship, can you just say amen for me?
Amen.
It's even better than regular water, isn't it? Guys, it's Pentecost Sunday. I think it should be the third biggest holiday in our faith. Christmas, Easter, Pentecost. That's just my opinion. When they make me emperor of everything, that's how I'm going to set it up, okay? Just so you're aware, in case that ever happens. Yes. Yes. Oh. Who wants something more from the Holy Spirit this morning? I think we need to learn how to practice drinking him in. You know, it's like we talk about multitasking because we have a society that thinks that we're going to be highly productive robots that do everything. But in reality, the best multitasking around is periodically throughout your day, refocusing your heart, turning your spirit, and turning your thoughts towards the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's start today as I preach a little bit. Stay in that place. Keep drinking from him. You don't have to catch every word I say. I'm not that great of a teacher. In fact, let's do a little exercise while we move forward here. If you want someone next to you to lay a hand on your shoulder and pray for you for 30 seconds, just put your hand up real quick. Okay. So just put a hand on their shoulder real quick and just start asking the Holy Spirit, give them whatever it is they need. Don't ask them. Just let God knows. He knows what they need. He knows what's on their hearts. They might need a breakthrough. Ask God for a breakthrough. They might need to feel his comfort and his love. Ask God for that. They might need joy or faith. Ask God for that. And the rest of you can turn your Bibles to Revelation 3. I'm going to start at verse 17. I was reading this in staff meeting the week before Easter. And the Lord and I had a little interaction. And long story short, this is Jesus writing a letter to a church a long time ago. But how many of you know it's still relevant to us today? And just to put you in the right frame of mind, this is kind of the toughest letter out of the seven letters that Jesus wrote. So the way I look at this letter is, God, I don't want to be on that list. I'm serious. And we're not going to go through the whole thing, but we're going to focus just on verse 18. This is what Jesus told them to do. He said, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourselves, and that the shame of your nakedness would not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Go ahead and tell the Lord that you want to see the way he sees. Whew. I was struck by that verse as I read it. I was like, God, I want that. I want that, and I'll pay the price for that. What do I have to do to have that? And immediately, the Lord spoke back to me and said, 3 days of fasting. Glad I asked. Actually, I'm really happy about that because I don't mind some fasting. Now, if he had said 40 days of fasting, that would have been a problem. That would have been a bona fide problem for me. But praise God, he knows where I'm at in life, and he knows that 3 days will hurt me a little bit, but it won't be that bad. He's good, huh?
Yeah.
I really felt in my heart, I will pay that cost. So when he said 3 days of fasting, I said, okay, it's Easter week. We're going to have a big lunch on Sunday. I don't want to try to fast during that because it's awkward. So I'll do it next week. So I did it. And when I have something like that happen, I don't know about you, this is what I want. I want the heavens to rend. And the thunder and the lightning around the throne to flash. And I want to see Jesus high and lifted up in the train of his glory fills the temple. That's what I'm hoping will happen. And that didn't really happen quite that way. I did have some really awesome times with the Lord. I had some amazing times reading the scripture. I'm going to get that experience. God's going to give it to me. I hope he gives it to me while I'm still on earth. But at the least, when I go to heaven, I will see him like that. And you will too. Who's excited about that? Ooh, I'm really excited about that. We're going to look at some more of that in a second. But I did get a sense of what this verse is talking about. What's this eye salve thing about? Because it wasn't the rest of it so much. It was really just the eye salve. What's this about, God? There's a lot of questions there. I'm not going to go into all of them, okay? Because, for the sake of time and such. But I want to focus on the big thing. So I feel like I got one good grip on that, and then I spent a few more weeks really pressing into the Lord on that. So eye salve is about two things: your eyes, so that's about seeing, and salve, which is oily. And you know when the Bible talks about oil, what it's talking about. Go ahead and say it. The Holy Spirit. Guys, it's Pentecost Sunday. We're celebrating the fact that our Father sent the Holy Spirit right now. We're celebrating that right now. That's the most exciting thing that's happened since Jesus came. It's way more exciting than anything else you've experienced. Sorry, favorite sports team people. That was exciting too, I'm sure. Big game, bro. It was big. It was nothing. It was nothing. So when we have the Holy Spirit, we get revelation and then we start seeing, okay? So we have the Holy Spirit and we get revelation and we start seeing. He anoints our eyes. We're going to talk about what the eye salve is exactly, what it looks like to have the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about what it costs. 3-day fast coming up. Mark your calendar. Just kidding. And to do that, I want to look at Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm actually going to skip to verse 17. Because this is kind of the crux, okay? Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. So let's just pull those three key words out to make it really simple for a second here, okay? Spirit, wisdom and revelation, eyes of your heart enlightened. Let's say that together. Holy Spirit, wisdom and revelation, eyes of my heart enlightened. Yeah, opened, enlightened, sorry, different translation. Same meaning. What that means is I can look at the Bible all day and I can be really smart and I can pull things out of the Word and I can go through life and I can have my own wisdom and some common sense and I can get some good stuff out of that. But when I have the Holy Spirit, I get wisdom and revelation from the throne of God. That's the wisdom and revelation I want. And when I get wisdom and revelation from the throne of God, I can start to see like God sees. This is our Christian problem. As Christians, we know this problem, right? The problem is me. I see things the way I see, which can be good sometimes, but oftentimes it's pretty poor. Paul described our time on earth as we see in a mirror, dimly. You ever look in like a cloudy old mirror? It's like kind of helpful, not really. Ladies, do you want to do your makeup in an old cloudy mirror? Is that going to help? Let's have Cloudy Mirror Sunday next week. All the girls can do their makeup in an old cloudy mirror. No? Sound like a nightmare? Well, we're kind of living life that way sometimes, aren't we? Our tension here on the earth as Christians is to push into the Holy Spirit and stop seeing the way we see. Get the anointing of God on our eyes so we can see the way He sees. And that's why I wanted to practice as I preach here this morning a little bit. Practice not what I preach, although yes, all of you are going to practice what I preach. Hey, I like that. That sounds good. No, we're all going to practice that some more. Let's close our eyes. Ask the Holy Spirit, just for a few seconds, anoint my eyes. God, if there's any spiritual blindness in my life, take it away now so I can see you. I want to see you. I want to see this world the way you see it. Maybe you've turned a blind eye to something on purpose. If that's you, repent now. Just tell God in your heart. You don't have to make a big show out of it. Just tell Him between you and Him, no more. I'm not going to live that way anymore. And ask Him to see, to give you vision, to see. There's a prayer from the Old Testament that the Jews would pray. And you can open your eyes if you're kind of done with that moment with the Lord. You can keep them closed if you want and soak in His presence. That's great too. You don't have to look at me. I'm not that pretty. This prayer that Jews used to pray, I've seen it on a synagogue. It says, "In your light we see light." We can't even see the light, people. We need His light to break through to us so we can see the light. Psalm 36, 8 and 9 says that. And this is what it says. "They drink their fill of the abundance of your house, and you give to them to drink of the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light." I love the river of God. I love the river of His presence. And this psalm equates that with the light too. When I start seeing accurately, I get to see the river of God flowing, the river of His presence flowing. That's in other places in Scripture. We're not going to go into it all right this second, but trust me, it's there. John 1's a good place to read it as well. Thank God that He sent the Holy Spirit like He said He would. But what happens when we get this wisdom and revelation and we start seeing is we see differently. I've got a little view of God over here. Maybe it fits in this box. That's a pretty good one, right? That's like bigger than the Tesseract. That's pretty good. It's a good size. Okay, that's good, right? Or maybe you've got a bigger view of God. Maybe it fits in this building. Let me break your view of God for a minute. Let's pretend, this is pretend, just pretend, okay? Let's pretend that this week God sends 5 prophets and 3 angels to our church, and they tell us that our church is going to have 5,000 people in it starting next week. Who here likes big church? It's okay. It's okay. I like big church. It's okay. I'm not comfortable in big church. I never went to big church. The days I have to go to a larger church where there's like hundreds and hundreds of people in one service, and then there's 3 of those services, I feel out of my element. Like, it's exciting to a degree, but I also kind of feel like, yeah, but, you know, do they really love God here? I mean, how could you love God if there's that many smoke machines? I mean, come on, like, you know, I'm not comfortable there. But legitimately, think about it. What if that's what God did? Can you handle that? Can I handle that? What if it's not the church I came here to help build? Can I handle that? The point is that we can't handle God's. And we're not supposed to be able to handle Him. We trust that He can handle us. He's not safe. He's not safe at all. He's good. He'll break your notion. He'll break your notion of who you are. He'll break your notion of who He is. He'll open your eyes. You'll see for real. This is what people saw. You can turn to Luke chapter 9. Here's John. and Peter and James, and they knew Jesus really well, and they were his disciples. And they went up the mountain with Jesus to pray. Luke 9, verse 28, it says he took those guys along. He went up the mountain to pray, and while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different. And Matthew's version of this says it shone like the sun. And his clothing became white and gleaming. And behold, two men were talking with him, and they were Moses and Elijah, who appearing in glory were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep. But when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. And as these were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah," not realizing what he was saying. You think that was weird? Then, while he was saying this, a cloud occurred in the midst of them and began to overshadow them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. That's why they have smoke machines in those big churches. Okay, now I understand. Ha ha. I bet you they don't have a voice coming out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one, listen to him." That's what happened here. And then when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. Guys, everything about this was not what Peter, James, and John expected. They certainly did not expect to see Moses and Elijah. Did they have name badges on? "Hi, my name is Moses." "Oh, I figured, because you have the staff and the beard and you look like you've been doing that thing for a while." How did they recognize Elijah? When Elijah looks at you, I think you feel like maybe the fire of God's going to strike me, not the way I want, the other way. I don't know what to think about that. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to think, because the Holy Spirit was starting to rewrite their concept of who God was. Because in their mind, God was the guy who delivers them from Rome. Which is good, but it's not really what God had in mind. Amen? I want to challenge you this morning to disengage with the struggle of your life, whatever that is. Some of you are fighting against Rome. Stop it. Stop it. Stop. Stop fighting against Rome. Turn to Jesus and seek him. Ask for him to anoint your eyes so you can see. Worship him. Glorify him. And stop struggling against Rome. I think you might, that word is for somebody. If that's for you, stop it. Put your weapons down. Stop it. Sit down. Rest in his presence. Spend all of your time and energy getting into his presence. Let him change the game for you by the Spirit of God. John saw the transfigured Christ. He also saw Jesus on the cross. And then in Revelation 1, he sees the Jesus he's longed so desperately for decades. If you know the story, John's exiled on the island of Patmos. And he receives this book, the final book of the Bible, Revelation. And he says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day," this is verse 10, "and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet." Phew. "And I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me." And having turned, he doesn't see what he thought he was going to see. "I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white wool, like snow." That sounds like the Ancient of Days in the book of Daniel, by the way. Jesus looks like his father. "His eyes were a flame of fire, and his feet were like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in a furnace, so hot that if you touched it, you would melt your skin right off. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. And in his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in his strength." And then here's the reaction from John, the disciple that knew Jesus best. "When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man." And Jesus has to put his hand on him and say, "Get back up." I've never seen God like that. I think I want to. You know, I do want to. Honestly. Because we have the Holy Spirit given to us at Pentecost, we can see God like that. We can see God like the lion. We can see God like the lamb. However he wants to reveal himself is how he'll do it. And God will reveal himself at his will. You know, I heard a testimony years ago about a Muslim man that got saved because this man who has holes in his hands and feet appeared to him in the desert and fed him fresh bread. The man was persecuting his own daughter because she'd become a Christian. I don't know why Jesus did it like that. Maybe there were no missionaries around. Then again, he picks missionaries up and moves them around when he wants to. So I don't know why he did it like that, but he did. But I do know this. God will reveal himself to who he wants, when he wants, how he wants. Now, that does not mean I sit back and just hope it happens, right? If I'm serious about doing what Jesus told the church that was very bad off to do, if I'm serious about buying eye salve so I can see, I need to understand what the cost is, and I need to start paying into that account. When the Lord spoke to me and said the cost is 3 days of fasting, he didn't mean fast for 3 days, and then this is like a magic trick. Now you'll just have this thing forever, okay? That's not quite how it works in the kingdom of God. This is how I interpret that for my life. You heard me speak. Go and do what I said. And tomorrow, come back and hear me speak again, and go and do what I say again. Does that sound about right? I started thinking about people that have paid the price so they could have the Holy Spirit in their lives, so they could have vision, revelation, eye salve. One of them is one of my heroes of the faith, a man named John G. Lake. He was a businessman, and apparently he was quite well off when God called him to leave that and pursue ministry. So he left a rather lucrative business career to go pursue the ministry for the Lord. Another one I thought of is Roland and Heidi Baker. You know, they had someone backing their ministry, which is missions work in Africa with orphanages, that was giving them, you know, loads and loads and loads of money. And when they came to Toronto and encountered the revival there, they really bought into it. But this person, whoever it was, God bless them, called them and said, you know, I don't buy into that. So if you don't stop buying into it, I'll stop buying into you. And that would have meant the collapse of their ministry and their livelihood. So they had to choose, are we going to pursue the Lord and pay the price, or are we going to bow to this guy's demands and keep going? That was a big one. It'll definitely cost you your personal reputation. I've seen people in Toronto go like this. Across the stage and back down. I wasn't going to say anything. Since Stephanie outed herself, it was Stephanie. And then she got up and said, I did not enjoy that at all. And then she said, I have a degree in communications. Payback is so sweet. But you know what? If that's all it costs me to have the Spirit of God, I'm all in on that, and you can believe it. It'll cost you time with Him, intimacy with Him. It's cost me a few things. It's cost me ideas in my life, things I thought I was going to do, dreams I had in my heart even, you know. Nothing as extreme as Abraham putting his son on the altar. Thank God. But, you know, once upon a time, I was in college and working in the security field, and I was going to be a state trooper for New York State, and that's what I thought I was going to do with life. And the Lord told me to lay that down and go to Toronto. So I did, and I thought, well, I'll pick it back up after the school's done. And, you know, that never happened. So I don't miss that. But in the moment, it was like, wow, I really have to choose. You know, I've got a good thing going here. This is stable. My path was trending up. I had people above me looking at me saying, yeah, we're going to get you up here, you know? Yeah, it's cost me my concept of what ministry should be like. The Lord spoke to me in 2008 and said, leave your church and go back to your old church. And I said, that's a silly idea, and I walked away. I'm not kidding. That's what happened. And about a month later, I was like, oh my gosh, that was Jesus. I know that was Jesus. I better listen to that. What am I going to do? Like, I didn't know what to do. So I called my pastor and said, hey, we need to have a coffee. And I sat down with my pastor and had coffee and said, hey, I'm really sorry. I really feel like the Lord's told me to leave this church and go back to my old church. And I don't know why. I'm not unhappy. I love being here. I love being plugged in. You know, I was playing worship and doing all these things. The Lord changed course. I had no idea why until about 6 months later when I found myself living down here planting this church. I'm glad I listened. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, man. I promise you that the eye salve, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, is the pearl of great price that Jesus talked about. And the man in that parable sold everything he had to go and get it. And all I want to challenge you to do today, as we honor the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday, is sell what you have and go get the pearl of great price. It's more valuable than what you currently have. Let me tell you something. There might be some really good things in your hands right now, and this is not materialism, okay? But you might have a really nice house, and I hope you do. And you might have nice cars, and you might have an awesome career path. You might have ministry stuff you're really into, and you're tied to. I don't know what it is in your life. You might have something awesome. You ask the Lord, what do you want me to sell to get more of you? Whatever he tells you to sell, you sell it. And I promise you, he will give you something so much better in the end. He's more generous than you, and he thinks bigger than you, and he knows the future. He knows what's going to happen. Don't hold on to that Bitcoin. He knows when the value will tank. Ooh, sorry. We're going to close. Why don't we stand, and let's practice with one more activation here. The Holy Spirit's also referred to as wine. How many of you want a drink of that wine? Well, then start asking God to fill your cup with that wine, the new wine. And pray this out with me. God, I want a drink of your wine. And I don't want a cup. I want a fountain. I want barrels and barrels. I want to build a wine cellar in my house for your presence. And one more thing together, guys. Lord, give me eyes to see. Anoint my eyes and cure any blindness in my life so I can get rid of anything that's bad or mediocre and trade it in for your precious Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we close today, I pray that you really would enlighten the eyes of our hearts, that you would open our eyes, God, that we would see you, that we would see visions of angels, that we would see in the world around us what's needed, that we would not be the same anymore, that everything would change today, that our vision would change today, God, that a passionless Christian walk would be rare and extinct in our church and in our region, God. Lord, fill us with zeal for your kingdom.
Thank you for listening to our weekly sermon podcast. For more resources or to learn about the New Day family of churches, visit newday.church.